Touchstone. A hockey RPF story, written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicuria. This story features the pairing Sid Gino and is purely a work of fiction. We're only borrowing the names and faces of the famous people mentioned herein. Cheese with Mai says, "So every time I look at this one gif, I see angry battle mage Sid with his generals. And that was like, you know that prompt going around about character A butchering their way through an army to save character B? What if Sid were character A? This is my language. And I wanted it so bad. And now I have battle mage Sid butchering his way through an army to save Gino. As you do." Sid is in the tent of the wounded when the news finds him. "Sir," Bennett says, bowing quickly, his fist clenched over his heart. And he stops, looking around at the bleeding around them and swallowing. "I bring news from Hayestown."
"There should be no news from Hayestown,"
Sid tells him, suppressing the flare of worry in his guts, rinsing his bloody hands in the bowl by his hip and drying his fingers on a cloth that needs to be boiled again soon.
"It was to be evacuated days ago."
Bennett nods, just a little. He swallows. "Yes," he says. "It was. Word has just come. There was an attack during the evacuation, sir." Sid slows, wiping his hands, for just a moment. "The townspeople?" "Safe." Sid unclenches his jaw, at least enough that it no longer hurts. "They've reached the nearest refugee camp. But, sir..." Bennett hesitates again. "The Legion you sent. To ensure the escape, they stayed beyond the point of sanity, and..." Sid stands up. His jaw aches again. "Old wounds never truly leave you," he interrupts.
"Did any survive?"
"Most," Bennett says. He's shifting his weight, back and forth, a tell they'll have to work on. It's unbecoming a soldier. He ducks his head. "Commander Malkin held the line for the retreat." "He would," Sid thinks, staring into Bennett's face and asking the next question because it must be asked.
"And the commander?"
Bennett's gaze skitters sideways and then returns. "We have reports. He was taken, sir."
"Taken."
Sid tests the weight of the word in his mouth. He reaches out and retrieves his staff from against the side of the tent. The metal is well-worn and warm against his palm, thrumming with power.
"Taken where?"
Bennett is shifting around again. "There's a citadel outpost very close to Hayestown." Sid twists his staff, traces his thumb across the runes he carved carefully into the metal.
"Yes," he says. "There is."
"Where are you going?" Bennett asks, impertinent, when Sid steps around him. When Sid turns to look at him, he blanches and shrinks back. Sid grabs his sword belt from the chair he leans it against, buckles it around his waist with a few well-practiced twists, and settles the weight of the blade on his hips. "Sir?"
"You are dismissed,"
Sid tells him, pulling on his gloves, tugging so the runes sit properly across his knuckles.
"Thank you for the information."
Bennett does not call after him again when Sid steps from the tent. He nods to the hails he receives as he crosses the courtyard, answers the brief questions that are always being put to him, until he is ducking through the heavy doors into the main hall. It is always noisy here now, crowded with soldiers and all the support needed for the war effort. Sid makes his way to the stairs in the back of the main hall, descends the narrow twist of them, to the dark, chill room beneath. The air here always tastes of lightning. Sid nods at the guards that straighten at the sight of him, ignoring the look they exchange when he steps into the silver circle.
"Sir?"
one asks, braver than her fellow, as Sid dips the head of his staff and touches the points of power set into the floor. "Sir, what are you—" The rest of her question is lost to the sound of thunder and the swell of pressure against every inch of Sid's skin. His ears pop and his eyes burn, and then it is done. He is standing under the night sky, his robe settling around his thighs and wrists, his skin tingling. The stones of the ruined temple he is standing in jump with blue light for a moment, cracking out from his boots, before it sinks back into the bones of the world. Sid tightens his grip on his staff and strides forward. He doesn't have to go far before he finds the first of the Citadel's guards, walking a slow patrol around the wall. Sid breathes in power and feels his palm flood with cold for an instant before he releases the spell, the blast of cold hitting the first guard and jumping to the next two. Their screams escape only as puffs of steam. Sid stretches at his staff, and they splinter as he walks past. There's a strange crunching sound under his feet. When Sid glances down, he finds the ground frozen beneath his feet, a trail of icy footprints stretching behind him. Strange. Unimportant. Sid freezes the guards at the gate solid, but he can only aim in so many directions. The soldiers atop the walls see him. One yells before Sid clenches his fist and throws lightning, a bolt that leaves behind the stink of burnt air and an afterimage of bright, blinding white against Sid's vision. He calls up fire to buy himself time to get his vision back, smells burning flesh, hears screams. He draws his blade with the taste of ash in his mouth, feels the jolt of holding it speed up his arm and ground itself down his spine. His nerves sing to him a second later, and he steps sideways, brings up the blade and spins, feels the pressure of flesh splitting along the edge, and jerks it cleanly through. He loses himself in the melee. There are always new bodies around him. He buys each step with fire and ice and the quake of the earth when he slams the butt of his staff against the ground and pushes. Something hot splatters across his cheeks. He tastes copper on his tongue and smells blood in his nose. His robes cling heavy to his arms. The leather across his back is stifling. His hand aches around his staff. His knuckles are freezing and his palm feels burnt and blistered. His sword arm is aching, muscles fatiguing. He cannot see the pale gray of the blade at all. Sometime after the third bolt of lightning he called, his hearing became nothing but a faint buzz. It hasn't returned by the time he gains the main door, barred against him. Sid throws off the man that has jumped across his shoulders, smites him across the back of the neck and snarls, drops to a knee and slams the butt of his staff against the foundation of the building, pouring some of the pressure in his chest down into the stone. The crack is loud enough that he hears it. The stone rends apart. It explodes, showering Sid with hunks of rock and steam. He stands, distantly aware of the smart of wounds, but they are unimportant. He picks his way across the rubble, slides his blade through the chest of someone that flails an arm at him, and spits the thick paste of ash and dust out of his mouth. At some point, the people stop running toward him and start running away. Sid doesn't chase them. He isn't here for them. He finds who he's here for up three flights of stairs, tucked into the heart of this place. The people guarding this room do not run. They throw raw power at him, and Sid drops his staff, splays his fingers and catches it, the impact knocking him back, barely giving him time to drop his sword as well, shoving his open palm toward them and dumping all the power right back out. His heart skips and jerks in his chest. Everything burns and his vision whites for a second. But he lives. He lives. And they do not. At least not for very long after he scoops up his weapons and finishes it. Sid? Sid blinks. He looks away from the ruin of the chest on the end of his sword. Commander Malkin is alive. Sid had not expected that. But he lives. He's hanging from the ceiling, his long arms stretched to their limits, his skin smeared with sweat and blood. He's alive. Sid stares at him.
Sid,
Gina rasps. Because if he is alive, he is. He's Gino. He's...
Sid, you come.
Of course. Sid says, shaking himself. He frowns over at the rope tied to the wall, holding Gino up, and then slices it before jerking forward. He times it properly. Gino drops and Sid is there to take his weight, grunting and scrambling for a grip on Gino's slick skin. Gino groans against him, his skin jumping. He's panting. His back is raised with ugly, flayed welts. It makes Sid's chest burn again. He smells smoke and has to tamp it down. "I have you," he promises, when Gino's head hangs heavy for a moment. "I have you." Gino nods. Sid sees the edge of a smile on his face and doesn't understand that at all. It doesn't matter. "Can you walk?" he asks, and Gino nods again. He hisses when he steps forward and keeps most of his weight on Sid, but they make forward progress, back the way Sid came. Gino curses softly, lifts his head as they walk through the open halls, turning and blinking as though confused. "Where everyone else?" he asks, as Sid is getting them down from the stairs. His voice sounds raspy and painful. Sid should have brought water. "There is no one else," Sid says, distracted. The stone is slick with blood. They must be careful. Gino makes a small sound. He shakes like he's laughing. He doesn't see anything else while they make it out of the building, though he sucks in a breath when they make it to the courtyard. He whispers, "God, Sid." "We're almost there," Sid tells him, his mind on getting back to the imprint he left in the old temple. "Just hold on." The imprint is undamaged. Sid lets out a little breath of relief and pulls Gino onto it, holds him a little tighter so he can flood it with power, the effort far greater than it should be and dizzying, and then they are riding the storm. "Oh my gods!" someone exclaims when Sid's head is busy with power. Sid turns toward the sound, tightening his grip on Gino and stretching out his staff, and the woman yells, "Sir! Sir, you are home! Sir, please!" Sid blinks away the spots in his vision, enough to see the pale face of the girl currently trying to press herself through the wall. Sid nods to her, frowning at the shimmer of heat around his staff, and starts dragging Gino forward again. The girl throws herself sideways. The other guard makes a yelping sound and scrambles backward as well. Sid ignores them, ignores everything but the steadily weakening grip Gino has on his shoulders. Sid hauls them up the stairs and is met with a flood of yelling as soon as he reaches the main hall. People are rushing forward and Sid shifts his staff, feeling Gino shiver against him when the temperature drops around them. But no one touches them, not the entire way to the tents of healing. Sid drags Gino all the way there, until he can smell the clean scent of lemon. There are people clothed in brown and white hurrying toward him, but they sound considerably less panicked than everyone else has. Sid tries to focus on them, but he is weary beyond the bearing of it. He sags when someone takes Gino's weight off him. He says, taking care to make it clear, "Help him." And then Sid wakes up hurting. It's the first thing he's aware of. It gets him to wakefulness quickly. Pain is only good for reminding you that you're alive. Sid jerks to sitting, ignoring the burn in his muscles and the sharper bites of pain. Both of his arms are wrapped up to the elbows. His head aches. But he is alive. He is alive, and Sid, Gino is saying, reaching out and bracing a huge hand on Sid's shoulder. "Shush. He's all right. Be still." Sid allows Gino to push him back to his pillows. He's more concerned with getting a good look at Gino, anyway. He looks well. Well enough. He's wearing a loose shirt, and Sid can see the bandages beneath. "You will recover?" Sid asks, needing the confirmation. Gino just looks at him for a moment, reaches over and pours a glass of water and hands it to Sid, which necessitates him sitting up again. "Be fine," Gino says, once Sid is sipping at it. Be fine because you... Sid.
Good, Sid says, into the strange silence that follows. He looks down at the bandages on his hands. I'm glad. Gino is still staring at him when one of the healers bustles in to check on them.